Paryaste nanda gokule anasya kangsa samvigya pareshu vanti santihi gacha. Now go. Let's try that again. Now go. Devi, O you who are worshipable for the whole world. Rajam, into the land of Raj. Padre, O you who are auspicious for all living entities. Gopa, Gopi, with cowherds and cows. Alankritam, decorated. Rohini, by the name Rohini. Vasudevasya, of Vasudev, Krishna's father. Bharya, one of the wives. Aste, is living. Nandagokule, in the estate of Nanda Maharaj, known as Gokula, where hundreds and thousands of cows are maintained. Anyacha, and other wives. Kangsa Samvigna, being afraid of Kangsa. Vavareshu, in secluded places. Vasanti, are living. He, indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord ordered Yogamaya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world, and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities. Go to Braja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land, where many cows reside, Rahini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudev are also living there incognito because of fear of Kangsa. Please go there. Purport. Nanda Gokula, the residence of King Nanda, was itself very beautiful. And when Yogamaya was ordered to go there and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, it became even more beautiful and safe. Because Yogamaya had the ability to create such an atmosphere, the Lord ordered her to go to Nanda's Gokula. Text number 8. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion, known as Sankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Purport. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladev, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe. And the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Because I'm going into the womb of Devaki, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now we should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had been previously been entered by the 6 asuras, the Shadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Shadgarbha asuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:4-5. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagara vyaktamortina masani sarabhutani na chaham te shugavashtitaha. The chamatsani karam bhutani paishame yogam aishwaram bhuta brinnacha bhuta sto mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. By me, in my transcendental form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarva kavididam brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet everything is not the Supreme Lord, Supreme Godhead, and He is not everywhere. Everything rests upon Him, and yet does not rest upon Him. This is explained only through the Achintya Bheda Veda philosophy. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavan yaschasmi tattvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statement of the Shastras. Pure devotee is always transcendently situated because of executing 9 different processes of bhakti yoga. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atminivedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears. Because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and this way all the asuras of material association will be killed. As the Shradgarbha Suras were killed by Kamsa, it is said that from the mind, Marichi appeared. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsara. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainum darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti. And Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the 6 sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and when it's freed from material contamination, within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus the 7th pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the 6 sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsara are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna relation consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. Is the explanation given by Śrīla Viṣṇunātha Chakravarti Thakur. In the 16th chapter, Krishna tells us about the asuras and the asura mentality. For instance, he says, Tanaham dvishata koran samsareshu naradamam shi pramajasram ashubam asri shriva yonishu. They're those who are envious and mischievous. So enviousness and mischievousness go together. The ultimate envy is of Krishna because he has all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation. So naturally, enviousness is also a kind of appreciation. One sees how great someone is, one may become either appreciative or envious. In any case, enviousness has to be born out of a kind of a perverted appreciation. And what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who right now we can't even imagine, because we wouldn't want to imagine how great Krishna is. Because the more we realize how great Krishna is, then the more we have to realize how small we are. But no one came to the material world seeking to become small. Everyone came here to become greater than they actually are. And as long as we want to be something that we're not, something great, then we have to remain here in the material world and birth after birth take different forms and compete with others of similar forms in order to become superior. Even when one becomes a worker ant amidst billions of other ants, one will try to become the best worker ant. Get some kind of special award at the end of the year for the best worker ant. And be happy in that position. Other than that, everyone is seeking after some kind of recognition in the material world, even if it was going to be a recognition for doing something horrible. They want to be recognized. People want someone else to pay attention to them. Just like, for instance, when if I was giving the class and I just looked in the sky here, I never looked at anyone. Didn't pay any attention. Yes, you're all out there, I think, somewhere, but, you know, this class is for me. Then people would actually, they'd start looking around too, how to get out of this place. So everyone wants to feel that they're being, someone's paying attention to them, someone's appreciating them for something. Even if it's for something horrible, then they compete. Who's the biggest serial killer? I killed 5 people yesterday. Well, I killed 10. Wow. Obeisances. You're my guru. So everyone is looking for some kind of attention and appreciation. And we become averse when we see that someone has greater beauty, greater knowledge, greater fame, greater renunciation, greater strength. Then we may become averse to them. But that aversion also, as we can see in the case of Kamsa, leads to a kind of meditation in enviousness. Kamsa was always thinking about Krishna in enviousness. Actually, Shishupal was most envious of Krishna. Kamsa was most afraid of Krishna. So Kamsa here represents fear, invoking fear in us. So fear, we think fear is very bad. Like, for instance, if I told everyone here, you're going to die, immediately they think, well, what kind of class is this? This is not very uplifting. Why don't you say something positive? I didn't come here to say, boo, ah, I'm leaving. He's just trying to scare us. But fear is necessary. Because right now everyone is, the bottom line of material existence is that everyone is constantly under fear. What's going to happen? Bhayam dvitiya bidinesha tasyad asharabhatasya viparyo smriti. As we've turned our consciousness away from Krishna, so we're attacked by fear. And if we're wondering, why am I afraid? It's because we're not Krishna conscious. There's no remedy, there's no other remedy become free from fear other than becoming Krishna consciousness. And out of fear is born out of a whole sequence of things. It's not, we're just afraid because our mother told us about the boogeyman. But Mother Jasoda used to tell Krishna about how, because Krishna used to wander away sometimes, sometimes even go into the edge of the forest. So Mother would tell Krishna, if you go there, the howl's going to catch you. So Krishna was afraid of going to the edge of the forest because he was afraid of the howl. But one day he went into the forest and the howl appeared. And Krishna ran back to Mother Jasoda. Oh, the howl's there. And then Mother Jasoda said, oh, there's no howl. Mother Jasoda went out, howl. A monster. A kind of monster. So the Mother Jasoda went out to the forest, and then she saw a howl also, and she ran back to protect Krishna. So even in the spiritual world, there are causes of fear, because without fear, everything would be very boring. Even in the spiritual world, there are no demons, there are only devotees, but there are rumors of demons. And when the rumor of demon comes that Kali has appeared or Istasura, then everyone becomes afraid and they go and they protect Krishna. They take shelter of Krishna for protection and to protect Krishna. So in the material world, everyone's afraid of protection for their body. In the spiritual world, everyone's afraid of what would happen to Krishna. Sometimes things are explained in the Krishna book in such a way as to give us some understanding. But actually, the pastime is a little bit different. For instance, when the coward boys were in the forest, Ikshatu, and suddenly one demon associate of Kamsa started a forest fire there, then it says that all the coward boys, they pray to Krishna, please protect us. The cows and ourselves are about to be burned. And Krishna tells the coward boys to close their eyes, and they close their eyes, and Krishna swallowed the forest fire. But it also says in the Nectar Devotion, when there was a forest fire, either that one or another one, all the coward boys stood in front of Krishna to protect him. Let the forest fire burn us, but don't let it burn Krishna. So in the spiritual world, everyone's afraid for Krishna, and in this material world, everyone's afraid for their material body, which is normal, because we have to be afraid for something. And now since we misidentify ourselves as this body, in our minds, of course, as our supreme worshipful deity that we devote all our attention and give our love to and service, naturally anything that threatens our body or anything in relationship to the body that may protect it, we become fearful. Oh, my body may be destroyed, my worshipful deity. So actually, it's the same thing as in the spiritual world. It's just a question of who we take as our deity, that's all. In the material world, we take our body as our deity, and in the spiritual world, we take Krishna as our deity. Now we have to take someone as our deity. We have to take someone as our leader. Either we take Krishna as our leader, or we have to take Freud as our leader, or Stalin or someone, Lenin is our, we have to take someone as our leader. But we have to choose who our leader is, and then we have to follow them. We have to follow them, we have to try to become fearful and try to protect them, we have to become concerned about them. Now, for the materialist, what separates the materialist from Krishna, here it says is kama, krodha, moha, mada, and matsara. Or, actually, these things are arising out of ignorance, avidya. Because out of ignorance, we don't know who we are, and because we have to choose something to worship and love, therefore when we're entered into a material body, we acquire asmita, a false sense of ego. And instead of thinking ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, we think ourselves to be the servant and the servant of the servant of the senses. So that's called asmita. We acquire a false ego and a false sense of servitorship. And from there, Maya provides us with kama, krodha, lobha, matsara, mada, and moha. She supplies us with attachment and aversion, which these things are born out of. And from attachment and aversion, dvesha and rag and dvesha comes biniveshita. Abhiniveshita means identification with this body, and to such an extent we become fearful of death. So much identified with the body that we think when the body's finished, then I also disappear. And therefore always fearful, trying to protect the body up until the moment when we have to leave the body, and then we're surprised. Oh, I'm still here. What happened? I thought I was going to die when the body died. I got cheated. Wait a second, I'm going back. I need a refund. Sorry, you lived your life. You're going to the next one. And you're going to go through the same thing again. Live a whole existence, eternally, always afraid of death. And it never happens, only to become more afraid of death the next time. Therefore, Baladev, the instructions of the spiritual master, the original spiritual master, his instructions are to help us become, by focusing our attention and giving our love to Krishna, our service to Krishna, gradually inviting Krishna into our heart. And as Krishna comes into our heart, as the service attitude comes into our heart, first of all, then yogamaya in the form of bliss, the spiritual atmosphere, enters into our heart, and we feel spiritual ecstasy, and therefore Krishna can actually appear within our memory. Therefore, Krishna says, our first business is to hear from Krishna and his representatives about how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful devotional service is, and how to perform it. Then if we do that, trying to do it steadily and as enthusiastically, because after all, that's within our realm of possibility. We can do things grudgingly, especially if we have the wrong conception. Oh, I don't want to do this. Why do I have to do it? Why do you have to do it? Because they won't give you anything to eat if you don't. Oh, okay, I got to do it. I'm hungry. Or I'll do it and I'll spite them. I'll do it. I'll do it better than anyone because I want to show how great I am. We may have so many different moods when we do something. Or we can do it out of devotion too, out of love. No one's forcing us to be morose. Oh, you got to be morose. Okay, I'm morose. Can't be happy. Okay, I'm sorry. I almost smiled. This is horrible. Please forgive me. I should be morose. I'm just trying to be morose. No, we don't have to be morose. No one's forcing us to be morose. It's just that we're accepting conceptions of life that make us morose. If we thought 5 minutes from now there's going to be a big pizza party and ice cream and samosas and pizza, suddenly our moroseness goes away. Nothing changed, but because we think we're going to have a great opportunity to enjoy, suddenly everything becomes different in our consciousness. And if we think today's a fast day, and we think, oh my God, I'm supposed to suffer. My body, I'm sorry, you know, forgive me. We're going to fast today. No, don't do it. Oh, okay, I won't do it. No one's looking. Thank you, spirit soul. No, the soul of you think, no, body, we're going to purify yourself a little bit more. You know, you're going to become a better instrument for Krishna. You know, just accept it, tolerate, don't get to be disturbed. So everything depends upon our conception, and that will create our vision, our mood. And we can change, if with a change of mood, we can have a change of conception. With a change of conception, we can have a change of mood also, positive, or whatever we think is appropriate. In any case, having a positive mood doesn't cost any money. It's not that I was too positive today and now I'm broke. I'm too happy. Now I don't know what to do. I must get morose because I got to balance it. No, we can actually be happy all the time if we have the right conception. If we look at someone, and we think, oh, he's my enemy, he might kill me, my body. If that's our concern, of course we're going to get disturbed. And we think, well, I'm not this body, and no one's really my enemy, everything is under Krishna's control, then we're not going to be disturbed. So, abhinivesha, if we're absorbed in material consciousness and we have no concept of Krishna consciousness, then naturally we're going to be disturbed all the time. And naturally we're going to have to become under the influence of attachment and aversion. And naturally we'll identify with this false ego. And naturally we'll accept avidya, ignorance, as reality. But if we accept Krishna consciousness, then naturally lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion, yogamaya will come and purify us of these false conceptions, false identifications. And the result is that Krishna will come and sit in our heart and we'll become Krishna conscious. But if we are attached to lust, we think lust is very nice, and you add a little greed to it, it even becomes sweeter. And anyone who gets in my way of satisfying my senses, I destroy. And that makes me feel even better, I'm more powerful. And then I cultivate the illusion, I'm getting more and more powerful, and I become envious of anyone more powerful than me and seek out to destroy them. And therefore I'm completely in everything that comes into my mind is illusory and madness. What's real, I think, is unreal. What's unreal, I think, is reality. It's called madness. So we're all crazy. We're all subjected to enviousness. But if we put Krishna there, we recognize it, first of all, and think that this is not very good, I can change my consciousness. Instead of being envious of someone, I can appreciate them. They're singing more nicer than I am. They're more intelligent than I am. So I appreciate this is Krishna's manifestation. How wonderful. I should appreciate it. So that appreciation is the highest manifestation of our consciousness. We don't have to be great to appreciate. And it's that appreciation, even the great people, if you appreciate them, then they become subordinate. So if we really want to become the controllers and the enjoyers, all we need is a little appreciation. Just like if a lady wants to capture a man, she captures him by appreciation. Not every time he looks at her, she gives a bad face. Oh, how disgusting. I'm in love with you now. No, by appreciation. Oh, you're so great, you're so strong, you're so intelligent. Similarly, a man captures a woman by thinking, oh, you're so beautiful, you're so elegant, you're so this, by appreciation. So similarly, we capture Krishna not by becoming great and elegant and powerful. We capture Krishna simply by appreciation for him and for his devotees and for his service. We don't have to become great and learned and anything. We just have to become appreciative. That's called bhakti, the beginning of bhakti. And the more steady we are, then the more yogamaya will purify our heart, and the more Krishna will be able to come there and we'll be able to associate with him. So, thank you, Hare. Any questions or comments? Yes, here's the microphone.
Gurudev, I have this, I'm thinking about this, that when we are in the position of lust, anger, and greed, we are under the influence of the external energy of the Lord Mahamaya. And like you said, that yogamaya enters our heart. So when we are performing devotion service, and when it's doing its work, which is cleaning our heart from the contamination. So it is the yogamaya that enters our heart and is cleaning the contamination of our heart.
Yeah, it's the internal. It's when we're following the orders of Krishna through the disciple succession, all his representatives, and doing it with devotion. Then yogamaya, the atmosphere of spiritual service comes into our heart, and then Krishna appears. Ultimately, Yogamaya gives us the spiritual atmosphere, and Krishna, and he's there also, the whole Krishna is made out of bliss, knowledge, eternity, and he completely takes away any contamination from our heart and reveals and enables us to feel transcendental ecstasy. So ultimately, it's Krishna that purifies the heart. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham eva nukamparatam aham agyana jamtamaha asham yam yatma bhavashtod yanadi pena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I dwell in the heart, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So Yogamaya can cleanse our heart of this material contaminations, but ultimately the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness is giving that higher taste and ecstasy, which really encourages us to go on with our service to Krishna. So our heart can become pure, completely purified, and Krishna can sit there in our consciousness. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you. How we get enthusiasm?
By being enthusiastic. By being enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, endeavors performed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So we add those things together. We use our spiritual intelligence. We do something for Krishna. We add spiritual knowledge and intelligence how to do it in Krishna consciousness. Endeavors performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So we do something. We do it with intelligence, and we do it in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means understanding how everything here belongs to Krishna, how everything is under Krishna's control, and that we should do things to please Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. Then the result is that Krishna appears and we become enthusiastic. So first we do something for Krishna, we find out what we should do, we find out how to do it, and why we're doing it. It's called Krishna consciousness. We not only do things, we not only find out what to do, that's called knowledge, we know how to do it, that's called with the proper perspective. Then we do it with conviction, that's with the proper values and attitude. And then we do it with skill and lovingly. And then we do it, Krishna appears, and we get enthusiasm. We get the character, the qualities of an ecstatic devotee. So that's very enthusiastic. When Krishna appears to one who has the character of a devotee, who has the same quality as Krishna does, then that ecstasy and happiness, love, makes us very enthusiastic, that experience. Anything else? So we not only know what to do, we should know how to do it, and we should know why we're doing it. It's not enough just to do things, what to do, but we should also know how to do it, and we should know why we're doing it. Otherwise, we're doing things blindly, which doesn't create a whole lot of enthusiasm, or are we doing things wrongly? We're just doing things whimsically. So we should know why we're doing it, we should know what to do and how to do it, and then we'll become Krishna conscious. Krishna will reveal himself to us. Yes, anything else? Kuala, Grandharashi Madhvagatam Kijai.